Everybody loves a winner. Look at each other. Say, you're a winner. Super Bowl Sunday. 151 million people at least worldwide will watch the game today, or expect it. If not for the game, for the commercials. This is actually expected to be one of the best games in years and years and years and years. 30 seconds of advertising time to talk to all those people. $2.8 to $3 million for every 30-second ad. The second most watched sporting event in the world. How many can tell me what the first one is?
World Cup.
World Cup, which is? Soccer. We call it soccer, they call it?
Football.
But it ain't football. Anyway. Here's some interesting facts. 28 million pounds of crisps will be eaten today. 325.5 million gallons of beer will be drunk. 1 billion chicken wings will be consumed. 8 million pounds of guacamole will be eaten. 14,500 tons of chips are eaten along with that guacamole. And consequently, it's expected that 7 million U.S. employees will not show up for work on Monday. Over 700,000 footballs are produced annually for official NFL usage, and 72 of them are used for the Super Bowl game alone. The number six, the highest amount of Super Bowl victories by any team. How many can tell me who holds them? Pittsburgh Steelers. The first Super Bowl was won by Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers. Who's playing today? The most MVP wins by one individual. Who can tell me? Joe Montana. How many times? Three times. You got it, dude. You got it. You got it. You got it. So I can see if not for everybody else, for him alone, I'd better hurry along. Let's see. Seven is the most number, the highest number of touchdowns caught in the Super Bowl over the years. By who?
Jerry Rice.
You got it! By Jerry Rice over three separate competitions.
My work here is done.
Do you know what's so funny? As we get older, those are the stats and figures we can remember, but I forget I have a meeting on Tuesday, you know? So, that's fantastic. Let's see, there's a couple of others. You might not guess this one. Most wins as an individual player. This person won while playing on the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. Charles Haley. Anybody remember Charles Haley? Yeah, me neither. Thank you. Sorry, Chuck. You got the record, but nobody knows you, dude. Let's see. Who can tell me what the name of the trophy is for the winner of the Super Bowl? Lombardi, that's right. And let's see if there's a... Yeah, we got him. That's enough. Listen, only two teams play today. After thousands of plays all season, hits, crunches, literally bruises, broken bones, and crunched bodies, only two teams play today. 11 players are fielded on each side at a time. And they play four 15-minute quarters that we manage on the Super Bowl to turn into 3 to 4 hours. And at the end of the day, only one team wins. Enormous effort. Billions of dollars. Billions. Advertising. A whole spin-off industries of people employed and in addition to the players. But energy and passionate pursuit of their goal. At the end of the day, one team carries home a trophy. Everybody gets rings, I believe, and the winner gets a certain kind of ring. Winners get a certain amount of cash, and they get bragging rights for a year. There are a lot of things we can learn, but we're involved in the real game of life. We're involved in what really matters. By the way, Al, it was great to see you playing your guitar today. Thank you, buddy. And Lord, we do pray for Bev and Alan, and we pray for Mary Ann. Heal them, Lord. So, one team carries home the trophy. But what did we learn? This is our game for life, and we're playing for eternity. Turn to each other and say, you've got eternal stakes at hand. This game is for keeps. One team will stand, and we've read the end of the book, and we know that Jesus' team wins, right? Someone say amen. Amen. We know Jesus and his team wins, but the effort to get there, let's make no doubt about it, the effort to get there is an incredible effort. Yes, we're saved by grace. Say hallelujah. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me, and a delivering God who pulls me out of sin, delivers me, straightens me up, slaps me around, washes me up, and then sometimes has to do it again. Anybody else besides me? We're saved by grace. Our action, our effort doesn't deny the grace of God, but how many of you understand ongoing salvation requires our efforts? Turn to each other and say, you need to work a little harder. We're saved by grace. There's no works for salvation. But salvation is more than just initially getting saved. Salvation is I got saved, I am saved, I am getting saved, I shall be saved. There's a whole life element to it. And the Bible says his goal is to conform me to his image, to transform my mind, to think like he thinks. And it takes everything we got. Now, it's not enough when you give your life to Jesus to say, I want to support the team. In Christianity, you are on the team to play. Say it with me. I am on the team to play and give it all I've got. This is real life and we're playing to win. Let's see some scriptures, Pat, if you would, please. Just pull them down one at a time this morning. Pat does a great job, doesn't she? Just appreciate her so much. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And if you want to turn to it, you're welcome to. But I have all the scriptures up here this morning, too. Do you not know, first New King James and then Message. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That's the Apostle Paul. How about out of the Message? You've all been to the stadium. You've seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. Say it with me. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after that, or you're after one that's gold. Say it with me. Eternally. That's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line, Paul says. I'm giving it everything I've got. Say it with me. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert, in top condition. I'm not going in top condition. My 40th reunion is coming up. And I'm thinking of not going. Because I'm not in top condition. I have one of my best friends in life that I, in high school days, I should say, found me on Facebook and wrote me. And one of the first things that was important to him to share out of his life is, hey, Kev, great to find you. I've only gained 15 pounds since high school. And I leave my picture from 10 years ago on Facebook. Well, I'm giving it everything I got. No sloppy living for me. You know, so I'll do what everybody does. I'm going to do a crash course if I go. I'm going to lose weight real quick, right? But in life, isn't that what it gets like sometimes? Sometimes, come on, can you say it with me? Sometimes we get a little sloppy. Sometimes in my walk with the Lord, I've gotten a little sloppy. And he says, Paul says, I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping. Tell everyone else all about it and then missing out myself. Now, the Olympics were underway in Paul's day. The Olympics go all the way back. But the game that was second important to Olympics is what Paul is referring to here, the Isthmian Games. And if you remember where Corinth is, I didn't bring a map this morning, but there's the Isthmus. The Isthmus. That thing, that little narrow spit of land, the Isthmus. Yeah, you know. Anyway, that little, say it with me, please. You just say it instead of me, not with me. Very good. Pastor Sherry has her words. That one's one of mine. The Isthmus. Daffy Duck, the Isthmus is... Anyway. So those were the games he's talking about. They were every 2 years in Corinth, one before the Olympics and one after the Olympics. Athletes would come from all over Greece, and winners were given the highest honors. To get into the games, and especially to be a victor in their games, the Isthmian Games, they practiced and held themselves under total control. The athletes in training denied themselves ordinary pleasures. They put forth their greatest efforts during the contest, setting aside everything else so they could win. And what they ran for to win was a wreath of leaves and pine leaves. There's a lot more important crown in life to win. Amen? Paul uses this illustration, and what he's saying is, I want every believer to win their race. Run as if to win. It's not competition. Only one of us could win and get to Jesus. Each of us has a race to run. Run it with all your might. Win that race. Get the crown. His name is Jesus and we want Him. Amen? Amen. Exercise your full heart energy and your efforts. Run and win your race. Be conformed to Jesus and bring others with you and run that race. Paul did it himself and he focused on his goal and he ran for the prize with every step and he didn't get sidetracked and he didn't become lazy and he wanted to grow and keep growing and wanted to use every day to please the Lamb of God. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Not that I've already attained, Paul says, verses 12 through 14. Or I'm already perfected, but say it with me, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, hold up your hand, one thing I do, say it with me, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Say it with me, please. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Out of the Message version, let's see it. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward. Where? To Jesus. I'm off and running. And I'm not turning back. Come on, say that with me. And I'm not turning back. Clench your fist and say it strong with a fist pump. And I'm not turning back. Now, Paul was saved 30 years before writing this verse. And he's still instructing it like he's fresh out of the chute, out of the running blocks today. I'm not turning back. I'm going on. No matter what's happened, I've been left shipwrecked, I've been left for dead, I've been stoned, and I don't mean by drugs, I've been rocks thrown at me, and people hated me, and I got led over the wall in a basket, but I'm not turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you want to be a Super Bowl saint, rather than just someone in the trenches or an observer in life, but one who wins and fulfills the purposes of God. Let me give you three main points this morning really quickly. Number one, wholehearted. Wholehearted. Say the word with me. Wholehearted. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. Say with me, please. With
all.
With
all.
With
all.
One more time. Really boom it out. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. Is your whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength into it? Did you worship with everything you've got this morning, your mind, your intensity, your effort, your energy. If you've got more energy and passion going into your hobby than you do into Jesus, then your hobby's become a god. Ouch! Has He captured all your heart, your soul, your affections, wholehearted, everything? That doesn't mean we don't do other things. How many have hobbies in this room? Sure. We love them. But who's number one in your life? Come on, I said, who's number one in your life? I said, who's number one in your life? Former Green Bay Packer coach Vince Lombardi, and I've got several quotes this morning, football coaches, and the winning coach of Super Bowl I, in a speech he gave, and the speech was called, What It Takes to Be Number One. Watch this. Winning is not a sometime thing, it's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, you don't do things right once in a while, you do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Church, we're about a far more important goal than a Super Bowl football game. I said we're about a more important goal than a Super Bowl football game. We're about the game of life. How you play impacts all of eternity and the generations who follow you. Wholehearted. Wholehearted worship. Wholehearted loving of Jesus. Your time with Him. Your time with Him in church. Your time with Him with friends. Worshiping, sharing about the Lord. The book of Malachi, the Bible says, a book is written about those who share one another with one another about God and all the things He's doing in their lives. How's your paragraph turning out? Good, right? In this church, we talk about Jesus all the time with each other, don't we?
Yes.
Come on, make me feel better than that. Yes, Pastor Jeff. Yeah, we do. J. Vernon McGee, a great Bible teacher, said, the highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to see God. Be wholehearted. Wholehearted in your time in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the Greek word for study is spoudazo. Say it with me. Spoudazo. To use speed, to make effort, to be prompt, to be earnest, to labor. Thayer's Greek lexicon says, spoudazo means to hasten, to make haste, to exert oneself, endeavor, give diligent effort to the Word of God. Study the Word of God like your life depends on it, because it does. Because it does. How many want to be a Super Bowl saint? If you want to be all Jesus created you to be, wholeheartedness is your vital key. Say it with me, wholeheartedness. Number two, intentional. Say it with me, intentional. Webster's defined the word intentional as something done by intent of purpose or design, and that's how Jesus wants us to live. My intent, my purpose is to please Him, to be like Him, to do all I can do to fulfill His will. I live intentionally to fulfill those purposes. Run to win. The athlete who prepares intentionally, purposefully, with that goal, enters into a time of training and focus and passionate pursuit of his or her goal. They live intentionally. Vince Lombardi said again. Oh, Pastor Carl, let's say this one. Pastor Carl said, casual Christians become Christian casualties. He made a post out of that. That stayed with me all my days. Vince Lombardi, is there a Vince Lombardi quote next?
Quality.
The difference.
Okay.
Maybe I missed that one. So, I'll do it and then we'll catch back up, Pat. My fault. Vince Lombardi said, the difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, nor a lack of knowledge, but rather in a lack of will. Not strength, not knowledge, but a lack of will. I'd love to tell you it's all easy in Christianity. Wouldn't you love to hear that? But it's not. We're saved by grace, then we cooperate with God in the life of growth. But be intentional about your growth. You can have the nicest car on the car lot, but if there's no gas in the gas tank, it ain't going anywhere. Right?
That's right.
Be intentional personal discipline and character and Bible study, attending church. Yep. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Coming together. How many are strengthened by being in church?
Yes.
Man, me too. It's part of the plan of God. Growing, and if you're casual about church, and then you don't have the heart of Jesus about church. Church is His family. Church is where you get strengthened and encouraged and blessed in the Lord. And you're all here because you understand that. A candle set in a candlestick shines brightly. If it's not set in a candlestick, if that candle was just stuck on that little placemat this morning, what do you think would happen to it? Good thing it ain't lit right now. So you stick it in a candlestick. That's the Christian being set in the church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting the one another, and so much the
more.
And so much the
more.
The more, as you see the day approaching." Don't forsake. The Greek word means don't abandon, don't desert, don't leave behind the family of God. Be intentional about it. And about growing to be like Jesus, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, say it with me, please, train yourself to be godly. Be intentional. Be intentional about persevering through hard times and discipline. Hebrews 12, verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. God's treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Tom Landry, maybe we've got, there we go. Tom Landry, former Dallas Cowboys coach. How many remember Tom Landry? Classy guy, stood there in his fedora on the sidelines. The job of a football coach, this is great, is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. That's also the place of a pastor, right? Help men and women do what they don't want to do in order to be what God wants them to be and Himself too. Vince Lombardi, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence. Regardless of the chosen field of endeavor, once a man has made commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we call, say the phrase with me, heart power. Once a man has made this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success. Paul presses toward the goal. We live intentionally. Dedication, commitment, perseverance to win Jesus and His kingdom, to fulfill His will. Church, probably you're like me in that you have had friends you've seen come and go in Christianity. But there's something, I know there have been times I've been better and times I've waned, but there's something that won't let me go. His name is Jesus. And so much within my heart, I want to do His will. Long, long time ago, I was just a young buck in the Lord. And I went to a church, and these people were raising their hands and singing their songs. And I thought they were a bunch of wild fanatics. And I heard the preacher say this one phrase. I don't remember a thing else about what he preached. This was in Seattle. And he said these words, "Don't ever be satisfied with that which doesn't satisfy." Church, let's be satisfied only by Jesus. Amen. And doing His will and being what He wants us to be. Super Bowl saints. Wholehearted. Intentional. And number three, Nike. What? Nike. Now, what's a Nike? It's what? Man, this guy knows his games. He knows his Greek. I think you ought to come up and close the service. Nike shoes are named after the Greek word, the goddess of victory. If you want victory, how many want victory in the Lord? Wholehearted, intentional, living victoriously in the Lord. Nike, how do you get it? Live wholeheartedly for Jesus. Live intentionally for Jesus. Embrace the growth and the discipline and study the Word of God and come to church. And if we're going to win the Super Bowl game of life for Jesus, we got to be all He wants us to be. Americans grew up, most of the people here, with a can-do Horatio Alger attitude. How many remember Horatio Alger? I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstrap and I'm going to get it done. I'm not talking about setting aside the grace of God. But I'm talking about a can-do, let's get it done. And you've heard it said, we are Americans. Right?
Good.
Somebody say it with me. I am an American. But guess what that's been replaced by today? No consequence living. Entitlement. I've got a lifestyle. I want it easy. And if it's not easy, I'm a baby boomer in that generation. If it's not easy, I find other alternatives. Right? Alternatives. Instead of just saying, tell me the old story of Jesus and His love and the Word and walking with Him, with others committed to Him. And oh God, keep working in my life. Nike! Few people want that kind of commitment, discipline, and hardship anymore. Nobody likes tough times, but don't you know that it's in the tough times when you learn to walk with God? Come on. It's in the tough times where you humble yourself and hit your knees and say, okay, Lord, are you trying to show me something? You know, life goes bad. There's hurricanes. There's floods. I'm broke. Everything's bad. And I get finally on my knees and I say, you trying to tell me something? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes He's just trying to say, honey, keep going. And other times He's trying to say, listen, if you had responded to the first flood, we might not have had to send you more. But turn to Jesus. Don't turn away. When the prophet told the leper to wash in the river Jordan, the man didn't want to. You know why? How many know the instructions of Jesus sometimes just sound really stupid? Come on, can't you be honest with me? Sometimes God's instructions sound really stupid. I want you to drive down to Cease's house and pray for him because God says he needs help right now. And you drive down and he goes, well, I don't need any help. Okay. But you obeyed the Lord. You see what I mean? Has anybody ever done that? Driving, you know, when I was a young Christian, you know, trying to listen to the Spirit, driving down there, now turn right, okay, you turn right, now turn left, okay, I'm turning left. There's a street, it's called number 14, and I end up on 65th, and where did that go? And the Lord says, good kid, you tried. No. But you know, that's how you learn. Are we willing to obey Him? Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but if we'll obey Him, we'll have the Nike. 1998, quarterback Tony Rice led the Notre Dame football team to a national championship. Before the season, in 1998, sports writers wrote him off. They didn't think the kid could lead the school to any championship because with a quarterback like Rice, they didn't stand a chance. He threw the ball so inaccurately. But when they published their story, they didn't know that Coach Lou Holtz, how many remember Lou Holtz, purchased a dartboard for Rice, and he told them this instruction, I want you to spend 1 hour a day, kid, 1 hour a day throwing darts and hitting bullseyes. I want you to throw darts. And Rice said, excuse me. But he gave him the dartboard. He spent an hour a day, and pretty soon, the accuracy of his passes started coming in line. And he led them to a national championship because he obeyed a silly instruction to throw darts for an hour a day. You want the Nike? One of the other ways to get the Nike is to get rid of sin that easily distracts and takes your heart away from the Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the angels of God cheering for us as we run, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It all adds up, church, to fulfilling the call of Jesus. Not just for pastors, but for saints. Super Bowl saints playing at the game of life. Philippians 3:10-12. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain and attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but say it with me, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Nike! Victory! So it's then your choice and mine, within our grasp and our heart. What happened in Paul's life? At the end of Paul's life, he won the wreath that Jesus had for him. He fulfilled his calling. He turned a life of daily decisions to live wholeheartedly, intentionally, with the Nike in sight and mind, into a final statement that he was able to make with confidence just before a Roman soldier took his head. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, please say it out loud with me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Charles Reed, an English novelist and dramatist, said this, "Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny." And today, a few hours from now, some major football players will step on a platform and be seen by 156 million people around the earth. Some will carry home a trophy, win some cash, get a nicer ring, and go to Disneyland. And they'll have bragging rights for a year. But you and me, we're in the game of life. Playing the game of life. And you have opportunity to be a Super Bowl saint and to win at this game of life. And the prize is Jesus Himself. His will. His plan. His destiny. He delivered you and me for a reason. So, we're playing to win. Wholehearted, W. Intentional, I. And Nike, N. How many want to win the game of life? Stand with me, would you please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that beckons us ever onward. We thank you for the presence of God that covers us and for the blood that cleanses us. And thank you, Lord, for the family that encourages us and the angels that cheer for us. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord that has redeemed us. And Lord, we thank you that you are such a great God. We say, yes, Lord. We've signed up to be lifelong, better than Super Bowl, but eternal saints of the Lord. And all the people said, amen. Now, if you're here and the Lord has spoken to your heart and there's something that you want to seal in with prayer, we'd be honored to pray with you when we're all done this morning. If you have some need in your heart for physical healing, we'll be honored to pray with you.